This show is brought to you by the JBL Risk Manager. Money, risk and trade management kept simple. Hello and welcome to Talking Trading. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have you join us. Today we talk to Richard Lee, the founder of StockRadar. Richard pioneered the use of technical analysis in Dow Jones in London and established the StockRadar Trading Company in 2002. We hear about the lifestyle trading has offered him, the times his ego has caught him out, and his advice to those starting in the markets. Scott Bywater is Australia's king of copywriting. We talk to him today about overcoming negative self-talk. How do you quieten that crazy person inside your head? And how do you train your mind to harness your potential? But first up, we have the news for the week ending 7th of November with economist and Sky Business News commentator, Jonathan Barrett. Hi, Jono. How are you?
Good, thanks, Caroline.
How did the US markets close last week?
Look, it's quite a strong close, actually, and obviously very positive for most of the trading. In fact, on the close, we've retained our record highs, which is good. We closed up 19 points, 17,573 for the Dow, up 0.71 for the S&P at 2,031. So we're quite positive.
It just keeps going up, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but we're getting good news, and I think that's why people like it. US unemployment came out on Friday night, up 214,000. That's at a six-year low at 5.8%. And it's quite interesting because, as economists, we view full employment for the US at around 5.2%. So it looks like the Fed's been doing the right things. And, in fact, Yellen came out also on Friday night and reiterated the bond buying policies have actually been very positive. The US is on its road to recovery, and she urged the other peripheral economies, Europe, Japan and China, to do the same. So quite interesting.
So how did that flow into Australian markets?
Look, I think it's interesting. The Australian market closed up quite strongly, and I think it was more on the fact that we were going to expect some good news. I'd expect the market to remain relatively positive. We are got that dollar under a significant amount of pressure, and that's certainly going to help exports. But one of the sectors which is a bit of a concern is the mining and resource sector. Iron ore, to me, is under an extreme amount of pressure. And if you think that just wasn't in February 2013, we're up at about $160 a dry tonne, we're now at $75 a dry tonne. And when iron ore represents one-third our terms of trade, it's quite a significant move if that commodity continues to remain under pressure.
So what were some hot and cold sectors this week?
Look, I think when you look at it, I think the mining and resource sector is something that I'd sort of be very cautious about adding any positions to. In fact, if you're looking at something, I would tend to be switching out of some of that resource sector and looking at more of the airlines, because we have seen a significant drop in the price of oil, somewhere close to around about 25% in the last month, a month and a half. And with price wars continuing there, I think you'll find that the airlines will get a bit of a big shift to the top side. So I think the airline bases are something that I'm certainly looking at.
Patterns jumping out from the charts.
Look, I think it's quite hard, but have a look at the Qantas and have a look at the Virgin. It was something we looked at about late last week, where you look at a correlation between what's happening in the oil price and you look at what's happening with the airline sector. And the airline sector is still pretty depressed, and Virgin actually hasn't really moved given that 25% reduction in the oil sector. So I think that there are perhaps the opportunities. Have a look at the charts. You can see they're looking like a little bit of a base there, and I think that that's not too bad. The other thing to look at, gold. Gold had quite a large spike. Now, and I think that's attributed to the fact that we might see more interest rate movements in the States. So that, in my mind, does put quite a solid low in place for the yellow metal. As to why we're buying it, I guess it's just that it's perhaps looking cheap. But on the chart-wise, I'll have a look at that one as well.
Last piece of advice to traders this week.
Look, I think just reassess your portfolios. Just start to look at those portfolios that haven't really moved. And try and move a little bit around. I mean, you're obviously in trades for a reason, but if it's a portfolio approach, I'd tend to wait to where some of the commodities are actually travelling. That, to me, is a good key. Look at those sectors where commodities have fallen, because they'll probably represent the better buying opportunities.
Jonathan Barrett, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Caroline. No problems.
Hi, I'm Rick Schnabel. I'm the author of The Power of Beliefs, and I listen to Talking Trading.
Richard Lee is the founder of StockRadar, a trading company with a strong educational slant. Richard pioneered the use of technical analysis at Dow Jones in London between 1991 and 1996. He's also worked for other leading financial institutions, such as the Australian Bullion Company and National Australia Bank. In 2002, he created StockRadar to provide an independent alternative to fundamental analysis. We speak with him now about his trading journey. Richard Lee, hello and welcome to Talking Trading.
Thank you, Caroline. Nice to speak to you.
Richard, you have a really interesting story. When and how did you first get into trading?
Well, a long time ago, about 1980, I was 21, very wet behind the ears, and I was working for a company called Australian Bullion Company. I learned then under a very gruff boss called Neville Davies, and he was responsible for hedging the gold exposure. And I saw how it all worked as he used charts, and from that point I was hooked. So the first lesson that I actually learned from there was you don't need fundamentals to trade and make money.
What mistakes did you make when you were first starting out?
Okay, well, I certainly made a lot of mistakes, as we all do. But there's nothing like the pain of a financial loss to hardwire your plain pleasure receptors for the future. It's a very hard landing sometimes. But hopefully when you're learning, the damage isn't too great, and because it can cost you quite a lot of money. I remember one sleepless night in particular when I was working in London. I averaged down an overnight gold position that went horribly wrong. And when you're young, you tend to take on more risk, but hopefully you learn from that experience. The irony was at the time that I was actually working for Dow Jones, educating clients on technical analysis and managing risk.
Because you actually pioneered the use of technical analysis at Dow Jones in London, didn't you? Between 1991
and... That's right, Caroline. Yeah, that was a very new area for them then, and as it was fairly new for the market, the seminars and education process was a way of creating and managing clients for Dow Jones. So it was a very good way, but, you know, the analysis and the managing risk side was very important. And what I did learn from that was you never average a loser.
What advice would you give to people who are starting out as traders?
Well, I guess the common ones are that you build your trading plan using a proven edge and then you protect yourself using money management principles. However, I think the most important thing then to actually have the discipline to implement that system. It's very easy to have a system, but you need to be able to implement it properly, and that can be a downfall. And I find being accountable to somebody else, or in my case, to my clients, keeps me very much on the straight and narrow, because you can trick yourself sometimes. So it's my clients that keep me honest, and we try and keep them informed with a fortnightly newsletter explaining what we're doing and why. And even the best investors, Jesse Livermore included, the discipline test. So it is the vital part of a trading plan, I think.
In what ways do you trick yourself?
Well, I would trick myself by taking an overnight position, thinking I was probably going to be okay. But that was really the ego. And that's the big thing we need to get rid of in this business, because the egos can take you a long way down the wrong track.
Are you more conservative with your risk these days?
No, I manage risk. That's totally my job. When I trade, I look for my analysis to get me into a market. But once I'm in a market, in a trade, the position is managed totally from a money management perspective.
How has trading affected your lifestyle?
It allows me to be my own boss. That's the bottom line. It's hugely rewarding, trading. I'm lucky enough to live by the beach in Melbourne, and I walk to work in T-shirts and shorts. That's weather permitting down here, of course. But it's taught me to have a contentment and to be happy with what you've got and to not let greed derail your long-term goals.
Richard, what do you love about trading the markets?
Well, what I love about trading in the market is an eternal challenge. It's a passion of mine to analyse markets and to be good at trading. And you can have good periods and bad periods. So the markets are always teaching you lessons on how to improve yourself.
Richard, is there anything you'd like to offer our listeners?
We offer the service of StockRadar, of course. We try and guide people through the process and principles of what you need to be a good trader. And alongside that, we run a fairly practical live examples of all this sort of thing. So That's an opportunity for traders to come have a look at what we do and how we do it, and hopefully we can help them.
And Stock Radar, guys, is a fantastic website. I suggest you check it out. Richard, what's your website?
Stockradar.com.au.
Richard Lee, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Caroline.
As a professional trader, you know it's essential to monitor your positions. Without top-class portfolio management, you're like a babe in the woods. Are you ready to grow up and be rewarded for your efforts? Well, what you need is the JBL Risk Manager for both the novice and seasoned professionals. Click on the JBL Risk Manager advertisement at talkingtrading.com.au and enjoy your free 14-day fully functional trial. Scott Bywater is Australia's king of copywriting. And Scott's overcome negative self-talk to go from living in a halfway house to generating millions of dollars through the power of the written word. And today we speak to him about training your mind to overcome negative thinking. Scott, hello and welcome to Talking Trading.
Thank you, Caroline. Great to be here.
NASA astronauts, why is it so important to monitor your self-talk?
Yes, great question. And you know, I came across this recently in, you know, I was going through this really tough time in my business. You know, I'd had a large client go out of business sort of suddenly. It really threw me into a bit of a spin. And I was online one day and I found this book called The Obstacle is the Way. And one of the things they said in that book, which really took to me, is that astronauts off into space, the number one thing they teach them is how to avoid panic. And I think as a business owner, it's like that. I also think as a trader, it's like that. Probably in anything we do in life, you know, if we can, the number one thing we need to master is to master our mindset. And I always think when something sort of hits me by surprise or, yeah, and stuff does all the time. I'm sure as a trader, as a business person, stuff's always coming up and it's hitting it, you know, whether it's, you know, you get an irate email, or whether it's that you're on the stock market and a stock drops 30% in a day and you lose thousands of dollars, or whatever it is, it hits us by surprise. And I think the number one talent, see, when you're a NASA astronaut, if you panic, you're dead. And I think it's really important for us to all keep that in mind, because obviously we're not dead, but it affects our results, because none of us works well when we're in a state of panic.
Okay, so how do the NASA astronauts, and how do you, the good man you are, monitor your self-talk?
It's a good question. I mean, the first thing I do now, and I think, you know, I'm not as good at it as I would like to be, because I think I could always be a lot better at it. So I'm not talking about this as if I'm in any way an expert. But one of the things I've learned to do is, number one, just say to myself, don't panic. Is this going to kill me when something bad, you know, when something bad happens? And stuff always, you know, always there can be a lot of good things happening in your business, your life, your trading, whatever, but there's always going to be bad things happening as well, because I think that's a balance of life and stuff we're not expecting. So I think there's a balance in life, and in order to monitor our self-talk, I think step number one, we need to sit down and say, okay, yeah, is this going to kill me? So, yeah, if the answer is to that number two, we know what to do. Number two, I think, is to live in daytight compartments and basically go, okay, well, you know, just focus on today. Number three is to really look at the overall, and I call this the power of negative thinking. So if you've got a good life, you know, you're earning a decent income and something bad happens to you, I think the whole point of it is you go, well, if you compare yourself to someone who's far worse off to you, you all of a sudden feel really good about yourself. And that's a little sort of mental trick.
That's what the Dalai Lama says.
Yeah. If you compare yourself to someone who's doing really, really, you know, who's living in a slum or whatever, and the fact that you lost $15,000 on the markets yesterday doesn't seem quite as bad. Another trick I like to use is to imagine myself. I remember I did a Vipassana meditation. I was about 17. And one of the things I used to do when I was, you'd be in like this excruciating pain. I thought it was going to be a relaxing, nice meditation retreat, but there was times when I was in excruciating pain. And I used to imagine myself looking down at myself from the mountain. And when I imagined myself up there, I didn't take it personally. And I think that's powerful as well.
Do you think there's a crazy person in everyone's brain?
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I think we've all got craziness about us, you know, and the whole thing now where, you know, it's funny now they label, you know, they'll place labels on children's like, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. And if I think of everyone I know, myself included, I don't know anyone who's normal. I think, you know, most of us are pretty much crazy.
There's a quote by Elizabeth Gilbert, the author of Eat, Pray, Love, and she says, my brain's a neighborhood you don't want to walk alone in the dark.
Yes. And it's funny, when I read, I think it was Eckhart Tolle, he had a book once, and he was talking about, like, if what we thought in our head we just spoke, we would all be, you know, totally crazy.
Society wouldn't function.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you give us an example, Scott, of a time when self-talk cost you badly in business?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cost me many, many times. And whenever, you know, whenever anything goes wrong, like I can remember, I've been in, you know, in times where I'd be in a panic because of the way I was viewing things or things weren't going right, particularly in the early days. And then it could throw me for like several hours. And when you're in that panic state, you don't think effectively. You don't, you know, you don't do things productively. You are far less productive when you're in that sort of a state. So I think that is, and that's happened many times over the years. And the way I like to look at it now is it's a test. Every time something like this, it's an opportunity to strengthen a muscle within us, and probably the single most important muscle we have, the ability to train our mind. Because whether you're a trader, whether you're a business person, the number one thing that we have the number one most important thing I think we have in our power is to train our mind. Because you can have all the tactics, all the skills, all the abilities in the world, but if you don't have that mindset on track, then that's going to sabotage your success.
So you've worked with a lot of successful business owners over the years. In your time, what do you consider to be the difference between the successful business owners and those who are unsuccessful?
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting question, because I've worked with very successful business owners, like, you know, some of my successful business owners that I work with, they're turning over sort of, you know, $15, $20, $25, $30 million a year in revenue. And then, but I also, you know, do coaching of startups and small business owners and that sort of thing. So I've seen both ends of the spectrum, and I've seen who really takes off and who stagnates as well. And I think the big thing is it's having that really big and sizable vision is one. So having a very, very clear vision and thinking big, having high expectations and being really fast to take action. I mean, I think if I was putting it down to three things, I think that's it. Think big, yeah, expectation, and being fast to take action. And I just saw, I spoke at an event by Stephen Dixon earlier this year. And one of the things he just sent through, I just saw a post, and it was something around, you know, you've got to want to win more than you want to not lose. And I think that's a really important thing, because then you're willing to take calculated risks to move from where you are to where you want to be.
Scott, how can people find out more about you?
If they want to find out more about me, there's a few places you can go. I mean, one is my main website, which is scottbywater.com. I've also got some advertising cheat sheets, and that's just www.adcheatsheets.com. And I'm also on Facebook and iTunes and YouTube and all that sort of thing. So you'll find me all over the web.
Scott Bywater, really lovely speaking with you. Thank you very much for coming onto the show.
Yeah, no, it's been great to be here. Thanks, Carola.
And that's all we have for you today, guys. I'd like to thank our contributors, Richard Lee, Scott Bywater, and Jonathan Barrett. Stay tuned next week for successful businesswoman Janet Beckers on The Power of the Tribe. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. Look forward to seeing you next time. This show was brought to you by the JBL Risk Manager, removing emotion and guesswork from your trading decisions. It's the only portfolio manager that offers you the complete solution for all of your portfolio management needs.
Talking Trading is sponsored by TradingGain.com.au and The Mentor Program. The Mentor Program has been running continuously since the year 2000 and is a six-month, repeat-for-free course run by Chris Tate and Louise Bedford. Make sure you're registered on TradingGain.com.au to hear more.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.